Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 12 tonight. Do I need to switch mine? How about now? Super. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Whether you want to or not, right? You can hear me. I tell you. Well, for those of you that are older teenagers, you should remember that it wasn't that long ago that I gave a whole series in Sunday school in regards to Halloween. Zach, do you remember that far back? I realized that was probably four years ago. And our memories get shorter and shorter. You remember a couple of them? Good, good. We'll see how much you remember. I tell you what, Halloween's a touchy subject. Now, you might not agree with that, but I tell you what, if you were just to go around tonight and discuss Halloween with certain people in here tonight, you would find out truly how touchy it is. Some people would say, you know, it's all right to go door to door trick or treating. That's, you know, no big deal. It's just harmless. It's silly, and you know, all they're after is the candy. Some tonight would say, absolutely not. I had a good friend of mine that would have absolutely nothing to do with anything around Halloween. Candy, wouldn't allow his kids to have candy, even if you came up in church and just offered his kids a piece of candy. No, it's not going to happen because it's around Halloween time. And he would make sure that his light was off. Nobody would come to his door. They wouldn't even hand out tracts or anything. Nothing. It was just absolutely taboo. And if you go through, and tonight basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to give more or less facts in regards to Halloween. I realize a majority of you have grown up in a good church most of your life. So a lot of the things that we go over tonight may seem old hat. Some of the things that we go over tonight may seem a tad bizarre, and even if there's little ones in here tonight, I'll try to do my best to be to have discretion, because there's quite a few things in regards to Halloween that are very dark, very, very sad. Halloween and Satanism go hand in hand, and some people don't believe that. But I have studied it, as Pastor Rich said, I have studied it, and even the last 2 days, I've re-gone over. I've got two books and quite a few pamphlets in regards to Halloween that I have collected over the years. Pastor Rich even just gave me one last week in regards to that, and I appreciate that, because I have had people, Christians, that have come up to me and said, Pastor John, you're overdoing it. You just have lost your marbles when it comes to Halloween. You're making too big of a deal over it. Well, tonight, folks, let me just give you some of the facts, some of the figures, in regards to Halloween. Believe it or not, Halloween brings in $6.9 billion annually. No. Didn't mess up on my figures. 6.9 billion annually. All right? It is the third largest party of the year for adults. For adults. Second only to New Year's Eve and the Super Bowl party. Okay? So Halloween is not just for kids. All right? I don't know if you've gone any place on 127 North or 69 East, but haunted houses are everywhere. There's a real big one down by the parlor. Is that one still in business this year? Is anybody gone? I was over there just a little bit. No. That's a big one. Real big one that's been advertised all over the place. But you can find them. Those are not for kids. Well, I should say, I would hope that nobody would take kids into those, because the stuff that is in there, although I have never ever been in one, I have had people that I've worked with that used to go all the time. And they would come back and tell me the rave about all of the stuff that was in there. And I can remember shaking my head and thinking, that's vile. That's awful. It's putrefying, the blood and the gore that is there. And then on the other side, I have had churches that I known that would do their own house of horror. Okay, I've known it. I've known them. And they did their own, quote unquote, house of horror. And at the end, and you'd say, well, it doesn't seem like it goes. They would bring everybody around, and they had a hearse that was there, and they gave the gospel, talking about death. And so you say, okay, well, it doesn't quite seem like everything lines up, all right? Well, you're there in Romans chapter 12. This is the verse that I use the most when it comes to even look and live, because I've had people ask me, you know, Pastor John, you do look and live. We used to do it here. We always did it on Halloween night. It was always done on Halloween night. Wasn't my particular choice of doing it that night. That it had always been done prior, and that was the night that we had to do it. This year, as you know, we're not doing it on Halloween night. It is on the Friday night before. But that verse number 21 of chapter 12, it says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." The reason, not the main reason, the reason why we do look and live is to give the gospel out. Okay? The reason, the only reason why we do look and live is to give the gospel out. That's it. We realize that, and there may be a side note from it, is to allow kids in the community that would go door to door to not go door to door trick or treating. I grew up in the north side of Detroit. The next 2-3 days after Halloween would happen, on our news, Channel 7 News, Channel 2 News, Channel, what else did we have? Four. There would be all of the razor blades, all of the pins, all of the nails, and all of the needles that would be found in all the kids' candy. And it always hit the news. Always hit the news on the Detroit side. I don't see it as much over here in the news that we have here, but it was a give me. Kids had to take their candy. They would take it to the hospital. There was quite a few hospitals over there that you could x-ray and have your candy x-rayed for all the needles and all the stuff. That's sad. It's absolutely sad. It's awful. But Halloween is pretty sad. Let me give you some of the facts and some of the figures behind Halloween. Do you realize that Halloween is the second most popular event for marketing, second to Christmas? For marketing. Matter of fact, I remember that from last year when I talked to Carol Ann Hoffman, and she said that, Pastor John, I went into Myers and I could not find any Thanksgiving stuff. Remember me telling you that? Some of you might have remembered me telling you that. She went and asked for the manager. She called for the manager, said, sir, why is it that you have no Thanksgiving stuff? He said, ma'am, Thanksgiving does not sell. Halloween sells. Christmas sells. We will not have Thanksgiving. Is that not sad? Does that not in and of itself say quite a bit? Thanksgiving, where we thank God for what he has given us. Halloween. All right, let me give you some of the history. Many of you will understand a lot of what the history is, but Halloween's oldest root lies with the Celts and the Druids. All right, the Druids are the high priests of the Celts. All right, if you know anything about the Celts would be in the England, France, Wales, and Ireland area is where the Celts would be. It is believed that they came up out of Asia, and then they moved into that area. And the Celts were real, real heavy on Wicca. They were real, real big on Wicca. They were also real huge, of course, on witches and warlocks and anything that would be spiritistic. Of course, if you go to the people that are, where the Druids or the Celts came from, would be the area in Asia where India is today. All right? Well, if you've done any study on the people of India, what are they big into? Almost the exact same thing. The missionaries that I've known that have gone into India and have worked with those people, they're real big on the same thing. So it's no big deal. It's no big surprise, I should say, that that truly Halloween has its basics back with the Druids. And this is about 2,000 years prior to Christ. So if you want to do your math in regards to where Halloween actually originated, it'd be about 2,000 years before Christ. And they came up with it, and it is basically a celebration of a person by the name of Samhain. All right, it's not spelled Samhain; it's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. Samhain is the Lord of Death. All right, he's the Lord of Death. He's also known as the King of the Underworld. All right, so what they did is the Celts, the Druids specifically, the high priests of the Celts, came up with this festival in regards to they were going to worship Samhain. And in order to worship Samhain, which is Lord of Death, what they would do is they would try to round up all they could to sacrifice something to Samhain. So a sacrifice would be a whole bunch of things. It could be fruits and vegetables. It would be cows. It would be black sheep. Or it would be human beings. All right? All of these can be sacrificed to Samhain. Now, what they would do then is they would get all these things, all these whatever they could from the people of the different villages round about, and they would put all of these things in a huge wicker-type basket, and they would literally burn it all. Okay? And you say, okay, that's nice to know. How did we get our costumes for Halloween? That all came about was as they put all these things, fruits, vegetables, cows, black sheep, and then human beings into this wicker basket, and they would burn it all in order to deafen the cries of all that which is getting burned. They would have skins of dead animals or skulls of dead animals, and they would literally dance around the fire. Now, another thing that is really big for Halloween is bonfires. True? Do you realize that they were actually first called bone fires? They were called bone fires. They weren't actually, we've just shortened it, and we call them bonfires today. But they started as bone fires because once the whole sacrifice to Samhain was done and the fire went out the next day, all that was left was the bones. All right? So hence it was called bonfires. The bonfires also helped to do two things. See, Su Wayne, he was their god of death. On October 31st, all of the souls of all of the dead would come to Su Wayne, and he would judge whether or not the person was good, then they went to paradise. If they were bad, then basically there was two things. One, their souls would either go back into an animal body, or they would be judged and wait to go into the underworld with him. Alright? So that was the whole thing with Su Wayne. So October 31st, they talk about, it's an All Saints Day. That was changed to be Christian. Okay? It wasn't All Saints Day. It was All Souls Day is really what it was. And it was the judgment of all souls. When Constantine came through and he tried to Christianize the whole world as he conquered and conquered and conquered, and he wanted everything to be Christian, when he Christianized Halloween, it then became All Saints Day. Is that nice of him? It's awfully nice for him to Christianize Halloween. But Halloween really stands for Hallows Eve, and that was because November 1st was a day completely given over to paganism and the worship of Su Wayne and all that was involved. Halloween, there's really nothing in Halloween that is Christian. I hate to tell you that, but that is the absolute stark reality of Halloween. There is nothing Christian about Halloween. So that's what it was. You say, okay, what about, Halloween has some major biggies. Like, what about the black cat? The worst of the sinners, of the souls that were judged, the worst of the sinners would go into black cats. That's how we get our black cat. Hence black. You know, black being standing for sin, darkness. And so the worst of the souls would go into black cats. Others of them would go into animals and stuff like that. As I thought a lot about this and I studied that, a lot of what happens on between October 30th and November 2nd, a lot of it is what Satan is doing to mock image what God has done in the Bible. Okay? Who was it that cast demons out and they made and allowed them to go into pigs? Was it not Jesus Christ? Who is it that has the power and the ability to do such a thing? Lord Jesus Christ. Satan likes to mock. He's done it ever since Egypt with the Israelites. And you remember as Moses came and he came and stood before Pharaoh and he brought his different things of the different plagues that he was going to do. Who mocked it? Pharaoh and all of Pharaoh's magicians. It goes through scripture all the way through. And Satan loves to mock certain things that Christ has already done in scripture, and he likes to mock those. Well, another thing we find in regards to it is the, what was the other one that I was going to bring up? Not only the black cat, witches. Witches go way back in regards to not only Su Wayne, but also some of the others. I said that the Druids and the Celts were big into Wicca and big into the witches. The witches, I really don't want to get a whole lot into them, but there is a lot of awful reports in regards to it. One of the biggest days of the year for witches is October 31st and November 1st. That is the fall equinox. They have five major religious holy days for Satanists and witches both. And one of the biggest, other than a witch or a Satanist's own spiritual birthday, the second would be fall equinox, which is October 31st. And November 1st. That is their big day. Why is it such a big day? Because they believe both those that practice Halloween and the Satanists and the witches all believed that there's so much spiritism that's going on those days, that there's spirits of all these people that have died in the last 12 months. They can come. Their belief is that those spirits can come and revisit the house to which they live. Hence, which is why we have all of our spooks, all of our stories about different things, the haunted houses, that all goes to this whole thing in regards to Halloween, that these people, these spirits of all these people can come and revisit them. What about another big figure is Dracula. It's real big right now. Vampires and Draculas is absolutely huge in media right now. Do you realize that Dracula was a real person? Do you realize he was a real person? It was about 1490 some. Count Dracula. He was known for he had a huge palace, and he killed over 100,000 people. Is that not sad? Now I realize Hollywood has gorified him even more so. But basically, how he did it is he really had something out for the poor and those that were maimed and those that were homeless and those that would be beggars and people that would be considered undesirable people. And he would invite them to a huge feast that he would have. He'd have this feast, and at the end of the feast, he would ask these people if they would like to get rid of all of their problems, all their concerns, all of their issues. Sad to say, he burned them alive. This is what he did. Folks, that's awful. It's reported. It's a historical fact. I'm not making this up for you. And that's what that part is. Let me give you some more. Let's see. Ah, yes. This is one that is often brought up a ton. What about jack-o'-lanterns? What about jack-o'-lanterns? Is it just a funny pumpkin wherewith we carve something in it and we stick a candle in it and just lights up? To be quite honest, jack-o'-lanterns all came from a guy by the name of Jack, which was believed. There's actually quite a few. There was about four different stories that all went around jack-o'-lanterns. And I couldn't quite nail any of them down, Pastor Rich, to be quite honest. One was the fact that Jack played a spoof on the devil. He tricked the devil into going up a tree to get a fruit. And when the devil went up the tree to get a fruit, he carved a cross on the bottom trunk of the tree so the devil couldn't get down. He made the devil, forced the devil into a corner so that his soul could no longer go to hell. When he died, his soul couldn't go to hell. Well, the problem was, is when he died, because he was known to be a town drunk, he couldn't go to heaven. That's not correct, but he couldn't go to heaven. And at the same time, because he made this deal with the devil, Satan wouldn't allow him into hell. And so his body, or I should say his soul, was forever to linger here on this earth. And the only shell for his spirit was a pumpkin, and they would light it, and that was where Jack's soul always went. That was one. The other theory behind it was that Jack had several issues, and because of it, his body was living here in limbo, his spirit was living here in limbo, and that he was basically waiting for the time to be judged. And that was another theory, that it was just a shell for him. The jack-o'-lantern was also believed that if you took a pumpkin, they used to use gourds. It wasn't necessarily a pumpkin, but they would take a gourd, and if you carved out the gourd and made a scary face on the gourd and put a light in it, that it would scare away all of the evil spirits. from your house. A lot of that which went on. They would light bonfires, not necessarily for what I just mentioned, but they would also light huge bonfires around between October 30th and November 2nd to scare away all of the evil spirits. You would do a ton to scare away the evil spirits. The other thing that was done that was pretty sad. You say, well, even the giving out of candy. You know, when kids come up and they say the magic words, trick or treat, and then you would give them the candy for it. Do you realize that was all part of the worship of Samhain? What they would do is the villagers would go around to all of the houses in the village and say, hey, look, we're having this sacrifice to Samhain. What can you give us? That's where they got the cows and the sheep, and that's where they got, you know, fruits and vegetables, and sad to say, got other things as well. If you gave something to the worship of Samhain, then it was promised that your house would have blessing upon it. If you didn't, then the villagers would tell you that, look, your house was free then for the evil spirits then to come and do a trick on you. So hence you have trick or treat. You could also do, the other one is you could also put food items out in the front of your house. And on October 31st, the spirits, as they came by, the spirits got hungry as they traveled from village to village to village. And so they would take the food that was there. They would eat it. I don't know how they can do that since they're spirit. But they would eat it, and that would give them nourishment from going from village to village. So therefore, you had trick. If you didn't want the spirits to do a trick on you, then you had to give the spirits a treat. That's how that came about. There is a whole bunch more. I could go and do thing after thing after thing after thing. There is just so much in regards to this that could be covered, Pastor Rich, that could be mentioned, that could be said. But literally, as you can tell, we are out of time. Is there anybody that has a question? I did want to have just a few that if anybody had any questions or a problem, something I didn't make clear in regards to Halloween. It's a pretty dark festival, if you want to call it that. And like I said, the only way that it was made Christianized was by Constantine tried to make it Christian. Because he wanted the whole world at that time to be Christian, he came to the Celts, and they had so many pagan practices and beliefs. They said, well, the only thing I could do is kill them all. Well, he would have had to have killed most of England, a lot of France, a ton of Ireland. And he said, that probably won't go over well. So I tell you what, if you promise that you'll become a Christian, what we'll do is we'll make your holiday, they called it a holy day, but your holy day into a holiday, and we'll make it something else, and we'll make it an All Saints Day. But that's basically how Halloween became Christianized, and other than that, it wasn't. Anybody have any questions? Anybody at all? Some of you might not want to ask now. If you do, please come up and see me. I can also give you some pamphlets in regards to it. I have, if you're really, really into it, I have booklets in regards to it. What I would highly recommend is that you give out a lot of tracts. A lot of tracts during Halloween. You say, well, is it right to give out a tract and give out no candy? You know, I leave my light on for the trick-or-treaters to come by. Can I give out tracts and no candy? Absolutely. Absolutely. You've made the right choice into what Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I would also recommend that you give out tracts that are age-appropriate. Give out tracts that little kids can read it and see it. Make it interesting so they want to read it and that they could get saved. Anybody else? Okay, that's Rich.